Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Refractive Thinker Radio Show, hosted by the award-winning and international best-selling author, Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur. Meet the scholars of the award-winning doctoral anthology series, The Refractive Thinker, where we focus on getting doctoral research off the coffee table and into the hands of business owners who can benefit from the results. Join us each Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time for 30 minutes of thought-provoking radio designed to discuss emerging topics in higher education and business. We will meet today's industry thought leaders and college professors leading the way. Details can be found at www.refractivethinker.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Cheryl Lentz.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Tuesday morning. It's Dr. Cheryl Lentz, live from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm known as the academic entrepreneur, and boy, do I have a story for you today. We are talking about the perils of cybersecurity, and the timing of this is rather interesting as the fact of trying to put this show together this morning. I actually have an interesting story to tell about cybersecurity as I am sitting here currently looking at my laptop computer, and a key no longer works. And so I look at the idea of the struggles of digital technology, particularly when I'm trying to put a show together, and that's why you'll notice today there's no text that goes with the show. I could not copy and paste from previous shows, and I couldn't even type, quite candidly, simply because I have no F or V key. You know, that copy when you go Control-C and Control-V? Well, Blog Talk Radio works by being able to either use the V key to type in your correctly spell-checked episode information and or having the ability to copy and paste from previous episodes, which is exactly what I've done in the past. And so the idea is, how do you work within the perils of cybersecurity? And oh yes, I even have a backup computer, and I bought that backup computer the last time I dealt with computer issues, and my backup computer is in the middle of a substantial update at the moment, and it started over an hour ago, and it's still only at 20%. And so the challenge becomes, when we look at the idea, is weren't computers designed to make our lives easier? Weren't our computers designed to be able to offer more efficient ways of doing things? And I will be the first to tell you there are amazing things that computers can do. But yesterday it was amazing because I actually went to the bank on my phone. That is correct. I was able to take pictures of the check, and I went to took the front of the check and the back of the check, and everything worked flawlessly, and it magically appeared in my bank account this morning. And so I was very amazed going, imagine the time that it saved, the fact that I didn't have to get in my car. I didn't have to go to the bank and wait in line and wait for the banking hours. I did it when it was convenient for me. And so I sat there thinking the marvels of computers. And then this morning, in anticipation of the show this morning, I'm looking at, wow, the marvels of what happens when technology doesn't work. And this past week, I'm working on the next Refractive Thinker issue, which is also coincidentally named Volume 12, Cybersecurity. And we're looking at the idea of the inefficiencies and insecurities in an ever-insecure world. So I've been talking to many, many authors this past week of potential people who may want to join us as part of this particular volume. And I'm amazed at how many that I have talked to who are, there really isn't a thing called cybersecurity, the new oxymoron, if you will. The challenge that the only way to be truly secure, and every one of the people I've talked to this week have suggested that, is not to be on the internet to begin with. Now, isn't that amazing? So when you have a computer, you're looking at the ability to have a standalone computer that isn't connected to the internet, that isn't connected to cyberspace, that is simply a tool that you can safeguard your personal information. You can safeguard the ability to protect yourself, whether it's business information, tax information, credit information, passwords to get in and out of your computers for accessing your particular space. Think about national security. think about having the ability to have passwords connected so that you can ideally safeguard the information that's on that computer or even on the network or somewhere in the space. You all know that I am an online professor and I have several universities that I will teach for. And we are under the ability, maybe a false sense of security, that when things are password protected, that we're actually protected. But yet, I can't tell you how many different letters I get in the mail about OPM had the most recent one with hacking. Others have had the ability to say, well, how do you protect your information when it's compromised? Somebody steals a database. Somebody steals a hard drive. Somebody hacks into a server that has your credit card information on it. Somebody sets up an information when you're buying something on Amazon, particularly as we get into this holiday season. We look at the ability of how are you going to safeguard, because it's amazing what digital technology can offer us. I can go on and order information. I can order services. I can order groceries if I wanted to. And they all show up at my door by the nice little UPS man or the nice FedEx man or the nice mailman, mail person, mail carrier that comes along for this. And so we live in a world that I marveled at the millennials. I marvel at the younger kids who are growing up in a world that they've never known not to have computers. And as we look at the opportunity going, how do we safeguard our things for exactly the situation that happened to me this morning? How do I deal with the fact that I have two computers and neither one of them are functioning? And so I'm having to really kind of band-aid this particular episode together because I couldn't put information on there because I couldn't copy and paste. My Control-Z and my computer doesn't work. I couldn't pull information from a phone because I don't have the ability to clone it. I tried even to copy it into Microsoft Word, and I could because you have the right mouse click to copy it, but Blog Talk Radio only has the ability to either type it over, but when you're missing a V, it looks as if I have spell check errors. And so I'm looking at this going, wow, there are still limitations to what it is that we can do. And as we say, the show must go on. So here I talk with you of how do we manage when I have a backup computer and even the backup computer doesn't work. And I'm talking to you on my cell phone, and 3 weeks ago I had to replace my cell phone because there was a feature on my cell phone that didn't work. And so the challenge becomes, it's phenomenal when all of this technology can actually work. And I'm always amazed, and I think I've said this before, when you look at the machines in our life, I can be sitting and watching TV from around the world. I can have my stuff in the washer and my stuff in the dryer, and I can have stuff in the dishwasher, and I can have stuff cooking in the microwave, all these phenomenal machines that are doing the work for me. And simultaneously, I'm going to talk multitasking, that's great, right up until the point they all stop working. And that was never more clear to me this morning as I'm looking at, but I didn't anticipate that this morning, that one particular key, all other 25 letters or now however many there are on the keyboard, work flawlessly. But the one that I need today, the Control-V, stopped working. When I shut my desktop computer down and it woke up claiming it had to do an update. And so the update, even though it was started over an hour ago, wasn't going to finish in time for me to even use the backup computer. So here I sit trying to talk about the perils of cybersecurity, and I am right smack in the middle of trying to be able to, how do we manage when these things don't work? And when there are very highly technical people who we must bring in to be able to fix them. It's very interesting when you look at the opportunity of a car is a great example. I remember my dad had all these cars when we were growing up, and he used to take meticulous care of all of them until he met my car, and I was the first sports car, I guess, if you will. It wasn't anything, but it was a lemon. It was a Pontiac Sunbird. Obviously, we don't hear that name anymore. So it was an interesting opportunity that I remember my dad saying it was too complicated to try and change the oil in my car. And I believe it was strategic. So for the companies to be able to force someone like me to have to go to a oil changing place or to have to go to the dealership because they needed special metric tools or they placed it in such a place that you had to have it up on a list. And long gone, it seems to be the ability to have simple fixes like you would have had with, you know, the kids from high school working on their cars in the front yard and working on simple tools that could repair things around the house. But there are so many complicated areas of technology that it becomes a challenge for us to try and self-repair, retain self-sufficiency, to have the ability to what do we do so that we can ensure that we will not have to be as dependent on people because of this technology. I mean, it's fabulous when it's work. I mean, yesterday it was terrific. I was grading papers and doing grades and all kinds of things, only to discover this morning as I try to move forward that a little key, a backup computer that suddenly on its own is doing a backup when I thought I had plenty of time to open the computer as a backup before the show started today, and I was wrong. The computer, more than an hour now, has been working on this update when I didn't even initiate it. It was one of those automatic things. You turn the computer on, it's like, oh, guess what? And so I look at all of these things, and I think it's aptly named with the idea of the perils of cybersecurity. How do we go forward when things are struggling in there? And it's not just safeguarding just the important data. Sometimes it's simply the ability to use data at all. I'm amazed by how much of my life is in the computer. How much of my life takes when I was so proud when I got a new wireless printer and I had to, you know, connect it to my computer and connect it to my other computer and I was able to put it on the network and it took a lot of time, but I was able to do it. And now I look at the ability of how can we have the opportunity to look at the time that it takes and the expertise that it takes to keep something safe. I mean, there was once upon a time when we have keys to go into hotel rooms, keys to go into our cars. And now we look at the idea that I remember one of my cars that I could go ahead and have the ability to simply take the key to the dealership. They would plug the key into the magical thing, and the magical computer would tell them what was wrong with my car. And I was just floored going, isn't that amazing that we live in such an electronic age that we have automated machines that are automating even troubleshooting on there. And now I look at the idea of going something so simple, something so incredibly basic as the ability of a V key, you know, the copy and paste key, the paste key, has adjusted what I could do this morning and the irony of being able to look at the perils of cybersecurity. And so I'd love to have the idea of, is this a direction that we are definitely going, and how do we keep up? I'm not a technician. I have learned quite a bit in the past years on how to become self-sufficient, but things take time. And now there's a part of me going, maybe I should have had a degree in computer science and information technology to be able to have people that can help us, because it's not very easy when things don't work. I had a friend the other day just on the floor of my kitchen when my dishwasher wasn't working. And there were so many high-tech filters and gadgets and things going. It is amazing that every specific machine now is going to have a very specific repair sequence, a very specific expertise needed, which was simply going, you know, it's just easier to wash my dishes in the sink. And I sat there thinking about how spoiled I was with technology, that I'm just so used to having things in the dishwasher. I'm so used to having things on my laptop computer that I can simply make sure that they are in a position to help me work. You know, my work, I would say 90% of it's in a digital space. And so what happens when the computers no longer work or when they don't function? How do we move forward? Well, there are times that, again, those folks that I've talked to this week as I'm looking for contributing scholars and talking to the many experts in cybersecurity, the idea of cybersecurity is a bit of an oxymoron. It's the only way to be truly safe in the cyberspace is not to be there at all. And I found that completely fascinating, that these seem to be the sign of the times, a reflection on what it is that we're doing so that we can have the ability. I mean, I'm talking to you from remote access on a cell phone through the pieces of my computer that do work to be able to have a conversation and still have my radio show happen. And so the challenge really comes up with, can we go back to a time where we really don't want to take the risk? Because it seems as if progress is moving forward. And in order to have the security, we need to be very careful of our vulnerabilities. And many of them are very, very simple. I was talking to several folks in there. It's trying to just answer a simple question. How do you know it's you? One of the questions that has got my attention this week is the idea of integrity on the internet. How do you know that when I, as your faculty, am logging into my computer, that I truly am your faculty? Well, I've safeguarded things in my classroom is that I create videos. I have personalized talking head videos that you can see it's me, and they're on my YouTube channel, and I can post them in there, and I can even do live video offerings to be able to have the ability to talk to my students as if I were there. I have a live class on Wednesday evenings that I have students across the country, for which, think Skype, that I have the ability that it's called Eagle Vision through Embry-Riddle, and I have the ability to physically see my students. I have two bases this term. I have one in Texas, and I have one in Florida, and I'm here in Albuquerque. And all three campuses will get together and have the ability to have an interaction on a Wednesday afternoon for about 3.5 hours where we can be live even though we're not in the same physical space. And so the good news is, how do we move forward with that? I think it's fascinating because when I first started distance education, I had wanted to complete my degree that I had started when I was living in Tokyo, Japan. And when I came back stateside, it was simply the ability of a videotape or VCR tape and an email address. That's what started as distance education. I remember when my dad went to school that he would sit in front of a TV on one of those special cable channels before cable was even, you know, anywhere near where it is today, and he would attend his lectures via TV. And now all of that has evolved into the digital space to have the ability to, what do we do with this technology and how do we safeguard so that we know that the student who's taking the class is the same as the faculty who's teaching the class? How do we give the ability to know that when you give your data to Amazon.com or you give your data to a retailer, your credit card, now we have those smart card chips that are in there. We have all of this ability on cell phones. Heck, I can take my smart card reader, plug it in, and take your credit card right over my cell phone. And so there are amazing apps and opportunities for us to supposedly make our lives easier. The question is, do they? What happens like the hiccups I'm experiencing today? What happens when the backups and the backups and the backups don't work? Oftentimes, there is the ability to look at what's going to happen when these safeguards don't work. And that's really the premise behind cybersecurity, the ability to look at when are things going to work that we have to build a better mousetrap, we have to have better passwords, we have to have different opportunities to help move everybody forward. So the fact is we need to have that ability to safeguard it. I love the ability when things work. It's amazing how it makes your life a whole lot easier. And to have all of the different aspects of things that will aid us and help us look at the opportunities that give us progress, that help us move forward with using technology in a way that's going to make progress strides to be able to productivity and sequential opportunities. But it's difficult when you fix something and it doesn't stay fixed. And I was talking with someone earlier in the week that it was difficult for them to have the opportunity for something to stay fixed. For example, they built a better mousetrap, somebody found a bigger mouse. They found a better way to cycle security questions, to cycle opportunities to change passwords on a regular cycle to essentially outsmart the bad guys, outsmart those who are trying to find a way in to get information. And I know some hackers, they don't even want the information. They just want to know if they can get in. They want to hack our infrastructure. They want to hack the FBI and Homeland Security and Amazon and OPM and all these government agencies. Think of the banking institution. And so the question is, when you log on to your bank account, will all of that money be there? Will they know that it's you? How will you have hackers? We've seen all of these things that are all over the news, and that's why we're doing the next book, to have the ability to look at how we can look at every industry. Right now we have folks in human resources. We have folks in law enforcement, in the agencies, in higher education, in looking at specific security protocols in the consumer space. So it really becomes incumbent for us to look at how do we maintain those types of security protocols? How do we safeguard privacy, confidentiality, knowing that things that are on our system will stay on our system, to have the ability to keep what's private, private. And again, from all that I've talked to this week, it was very hard that seems to be a very tall order. And the only way to truly safeguard that information is not to be in that space. So we take a risk every time we put our credit card online. We take a risk every time we try and put our computer language in there. For example, I was using a double secret authenticator with Google Authenticator, and it became problematic because as soon as I had to switch my cell phone, that app, even though I downloaded the very same app with the Google Authenticator, somehow it no longer worked with my database. And so we had to, for an entire weekend, I remember I was both Saturday and Sunday, we had to find people to find a better way around the mulberry bush. And how did we outsmart trying to get around Google? Because all I wanted to do was just to cancel this double authentic secret probation authenticator to be able to say, you know what, I just want to get into my database. And I can't imagine that this was something that it sounded good in theory. It sounded because, heck, I couldn't get in, so it worked. But the question is, if we can't get in even to our own information, this is something that's going to be very, very challenging for us to be able to, it's supposed to help us but not help the bad guy. But if you do for one, you really do for all. And so the hard part is if we can't even get into our own information, I remember taking an entire weekend with my IT guys to be able to figure out going, well, how do we work around this? What is the backup strategy? What is the workaround? What can we do? Much like I'm doing today, because I've had to do a variety of workarounds today to be able to find a way to still bring my radio show to you despite the technical challenges, despite the ability to say, well, one little key and my keyboard doesn't work. My backup computer actually is still backing up as we speak. It's now well over an hour, and the radio show is almost over. And I look at that going, timing is just exquisite, that you're looking at the ability of how do we make this helpful? How do we make this so that we can minimize the risk and minimize the damage? And I guess that's what I've learned this week from a lot of the cybersecurity folks is there, if you want to play in the digital space, it's a matter of risk versus reward. Do you have the most available technology, the sophisticated encryptions, the ability to make things work? And when it's something so simple like my V key that is taking out such an important part of my space, how do we move forward with that when our backups don't work, when we're sitting here trying to still find a way to move forward, yet we are not expert, at least I am not an expert in this space. I have learned an awful lot, but it's a challenge for me and something that might take somebody 5 minutes when we spend parts of our day having to secure from technology, to troubleshoot technology, to keep ourselves private and confidential from technology. How much do we actually get done? It's a very interesting question to contemplate. Do computers really simplify our lives if when they work it's fantastic, but when they don't, we spend an awful lot of time adjusting and troubleshooting and finding a way forward so that we can still maintain. But the only thing constant in life is change, and we've talked about that for a very long period of time, is how do we maintain that change? How do we have the ability to say, I need to find a better way so that I can be productive? I mean, I love the ability to turn on my computer, and when it works, I'm off to the races, and I can get more done before 10 o'clock in the morning than most people do the rest of their day, except for today. Today has been a challenge of when, because of one little key, it stopped me in my tracks of what I was able to do. And now it looks like in the cost factor of technology, I'll probably have to replace my entire laptop, because it's cheaper to replace it with a new piece of technology than it may very well be to try and fix the old and the amount of time. So we're back to that concept of opportunity cost that we've talked about extensively for many, many shows that we've had. What is the cost of doing something? What is the cost of doing nothing? What I could have done is simply not had my radio show today. I could have canceled it. But to me, it's an idea of I like to have things when I schedule them. I like to keep my appointments when I can. I like to have the ability to move forward. But it's very frustrating when technology doesn't work and how you have to work around technology to be able to find a way of outsmarting in there, being smart ourselves to be able to continue to have smart thinking, critical thinking, vulnerability thinking. We've talked before about putting things on Facebook and social media that maybe ought not to be there, because a lot of what's permanent about what's on the internet, that there's so much information that cycles through in a daily news cycle, but there's still so much that's already out there that we can't necessarily erase because of how many people have shared it, how many people have thought about it, how many people are working within it. And so I want to be able to offer this ability for us to think about this topic of the perils of cybersecurity. How do we protect ourselves? And this is something that we simply have to have common sense classes, common sense discussions for what we do and why we do it and how we do it and whether we should do it. Because it really is a bit scary that when the backup fails, when the generator doesn't provide the power, when the passwords don't allow protection, when breaches happen, what do we do? Particularly when many of us are not IT tech experts and we have to find a way and to put our lives on hold until we can make these corrections in order to go forward. It's not an easy opportunity in this digital age that we live with. And so let me offer you the thinking behind cybersecurity and what you do and why you do it and how you do it and whether you should do it. And so let me invite you to be able to consider education and spending time with the cybersecurity experts as I have this week, and to be able to pick their brains. They did scare me quite a bit, I will suggest, and having the ability to think about things I really hadn't thought of. When I ordered something from Amazon, I just put in my credit card and it's going to show up on my door here on Friday. And without even a second thought, when I went to the bank yesterday, I went at home after hours. I just took a picture and it showed up in my bank account. Is this something that really is going to change our world? Because I think it's fabulously convenient to have 6 or 7 different computers and machines doing all of these works that I am far more efficient than if I had to do each one of these tasks individually. And so let me offer you, as we do every week on this particular show, it's Blog Talk Radio, Refractive Thinker Style, is think about that beyond the box. What lies beyond the box? Why do we do? What do we do? Should we be doing? Instead of asking just why, our goal here is to ask why not and what else? What might possibilities in the future look like? But change is inevitable. We need to learn how to roll with the punches, because it is exceedingly frustrating. The amount of time that is lost for troubleshooting computers is just simply amazing. But yet, is it really worth the rewards that we have to be able to, when they all work and they work flawlessly, how wonderful that these computers can certainly be in our lives. So let me end the show with thank you for joining us. Again, my name is Dr. Cheryl Lentz. I will update the site as soon as I have access to a computer that works to be able to give you information on today's topic of the perils of cybersecurity. I welcome you to join us each and every week, Tuesday mornings, 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, live from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm very thrilled to be able to offer you 30 minutes of thought-provoking radio. So thanks for joining us each and every week. Check out our authors at www.refractivethinker.com. And you can check out my website at drsherylens.com. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to serving you. Keep thinking your way to success. Have a great week. Bye now.